So we're going to pick up with the scripture, kind of where we left off last week. You get a repeat of a little bit of the verse. But notice the first two scriptures that you heard this morning, from the Old Testament and the New Testament, if those things are going to come to pass, you got to follow what Jesus was saying here, which is, beginning with the 21st verse, at that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? 7? And Jesus replied, 7 hardly. Try 70 times 7. For the kingdom of God is like the sovereign who decided to square accounts with their servants. And as they got underway, one servant was brought before the sovereign who had ran up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay it. So the sovereign ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. Now the poor wretch threw himself at the sovereign's feet and begged, Give me a chance. I'll pay it all back. And touched by his plea, the ruler let him off, erasing the debt. Did you hear that now? Let him off, erasing the debt. Now the servant was no sooner out of the room when the servant came upon one of their fellow servants who owed the servant $10. The servant seized him by the throat and demanded, Pay up now. And the poor wretch threw himself down and begged, Give me a chance. I'll pay it all back. But the servant wouldn't hear it. He had this one arrested and put into jail until the debt was paid. Now, when others saw this going on, they were outraged and they brought a detailed report to the ruler. The ruler summoned the man or the servant and said, You are a special kind of evil. I forgave your entire debt when you begged for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy? The ruler was furious and put the screws to the other servant until the servant had paid back the entire debt. Now here comes the punchline. And that's exactly what my Creator in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Damn. Can we just pretend Jesus didn't say this? Can we just walk away from this going, okay, that was nice, Pastor. It was okay. And Jackie, you can't give away anything because you've heard this sermon already. Amen. I mean, there is probably, at least for me personally, there is probably nothing in all of Scripture that is more disturbing than this particular reading. Because let's face it, we get the basics, right? I mean, you know, we've been forgiven, so we ought to forgive. And some of us would even say, well, you know, I'm not Jesus. I'm not quite there yet. Amen? And that would be fine too, except for that last verse. That's exactly what God in heaven is going to do to each one of you who don't forgive unconditionally. Damn. Huh? I'm telling you, and you thought that Paul was on a roll. But you understand now, we could turn over here for a second because you wanted to hear some more of this, Mason. Let's see, which one would be great? What's important in all of this is that you keep a day holy, keep it holy for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. I wonder how George Bush responded to that particular verse. Wasn't he the one that didn't like broccoli, or was it Reagan? One of them didn't like it. None of us, and here's the key verse. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God that we're answerable to. All the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. So where does that leave you when you criticize your brother or sister? And where does that leave you when you condescend a sister or brother? I say it leaves you looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in a place of judgment facing God. Your critical and condescending ways are not going to improve your position there one bit. Okay. So you have two incredibly, you know, you may not always agree with Paul or what Paul has to write, but he sure caught the flavor of forgiveness and what the step is to be able to forgive. Because if we think about it and we're honest about it, most of the time we don't want to forgive somebody who's hurt us because we're what? We're kind of condescending about their behavior, amen?
Or we're hurt.
Or we're hurt. Or whatever the case might be. I've read, and in preparing for this, I came across a theologian by the name of Sherman E. Johnson. He was a dean and New Testament scholar at the Church of the Divinity of the School of the Pacific. And here's what he said. Quote, "He who forgives is dealt with on the basis of mercy. But he who fails to forgive has no right to expect anything more than strict judgment for their own sins." Now, the point here is that there's a vast difference between these two debts that you heard about. Just the number alone, quite apart from coinage, emphasizes this. The ratio is 100 to 1. 10,000 talents would be worth millions of dollars at the time. Or today, and 100 denarii is worth a day's worth of labor. So such an exaggeration we find in Jesus' parable. He told these stories to drive home a point. This sets the Christian way apart in an age when so many persons and groups utter angry denunciations or act violently towards those who differ from them. Do you need to hear that again?
Go for it.
This sets the Christian way apart in an age when so many persons and groups utter angry denunciations or act violently towards those who differ from them. Is this merely an ideal towards which we should strive, or could it be the most practical way of settling our differences and living together as neighbors in a world which we now realize is increasingly pluralistic in so many respects? And by the way, that theologian wrote that 50 years ago.
Before ISIS existed.
And apparently we've not learned a lot, amen? I got to continue to tell you all that while I understand this country's behavior when one of our own are attacked. I mean, I could have told you that after 9/11, we were going after somebody. Just like after Pearl Harbor, we were going after somebody. And this isn't a matter of being a patriot or not a patriot. It just seems to be the personality of this particular country. You hit us and we will hit you back so hard as to say that you should regret ever hitting us to begin with.
Amen.
The Japanese, we dropped two nuclear bombs on them. We went to war in two countries, and now we have our British counterparts basically saying on national TV that we're going to kill everybody that's perpetrated this crime. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I'm getting kind of tired of living in that world. I get kind of tired where our answer to everything is to kill somebody. I don't care whether you're a radical Muslim who thinks you're going to get 70 virgins for killing an infidel, or whether you call yourself a Christian and blow up a medical clinic. Because none of those people are apparently paying attention to the lesson. When people sit there and say, man, I just want to have peace in my life. I would like to know what it is just to have a little bit of that peace that Jesus gives. Then you got to come back here, folks. This is the stepping stone. And you know, your pastor's had a heavy dose of having to forgive folks this week. You know, for somebody who I was incredibly pissed with. Somehow or another got to my assistant. My assistant made the appointment. And so there I am. How the hell did this appointment happen? But I was face to face with them in my office. And I began to realize that until we had that conversation, every time I saw this person, the air was thicker than the humidity that you're feeling right now. And the only way that that was going to end is if there was forgiveness. Now, I could describe that collision a couple of weeks ago as, you know, somebody tried to kill me. They didn't try to kill me. They were just drunk. And at 31 years old, they should have known better. But it doesn't do me any good to continue to be angry at them. They did what they did, and there's going to be consequences for what they did that are far worse than anything that I'm going to face. If you want to know peace, my friends, you got to get on board with this idea that you got to forgive. You got to let it go. Because the longer you hold on to it, the more upsetting and unsettled you will become. And yes, I know there are people in our society who do absolutely heinous things. You know, I'm still trying to figure out, because you all know, Billy and I are dog lovers. I can't even watch those shows where you see these dogs that have been abused. That father that left his kid in a car to bake. And then I realize, wait a minute, it's not my concern. Now think about it for a second. It was not my concern. God and whoever did that will be dealt with. I'm sure there's lots of people that are going to stand at the pearly gates at the end, and God's going to ask them, why'd you do that to your child? Why'd you do that to your dog? Or why did you treat so-and-so? See, that is between God and them. What I'm trying to say here, folks, is we get a little worked up about stuff that really has nothing to do with us. You can only be responsible for who? Yes, amen. And here it is. You want you to be peaceful? Then how many times do you got to forgive?
That's how many times it takes.
Yeah.
490.
Yeah, I knew that we were going to have a math whiz here somewhere. And I'm telling you, I've encouraged people that wanted to do the 490 thing to get themselves a piece of paper and write down all the names that they figure they were going to have to forgive more than once, and put 490 columns. And start checking it out. It's way to hell too much work. It's a hell of a lot easier to say, you know what?
Forget it.
You're forgiven. Last illustration, and then believe it or not, I'm done.
Yay. Someone's been up all night. Tired.
You're forgiven.
Perfect. About time. Hey, we got a football game to get to.
Stephen Felker is a pastor, believe it or not, out of the Pentecostal church. And he tells this story. There's a story of two friends who were walking through the desert. And during some point of the journey, they had an argument. And the one friend slapped the other one in the face. The one who got slapped was hurt. But without saying anything, he wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." Now they kept walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started drowning. But his friend saved him. And after he recovered from nearly drowning, he etched into a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." Now his friend looked at him and said, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write in a stone. Why?" And the other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in the sand where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone where no wind can ever erase it." So real forgiveness keeps on leaving the sins of others and our hurts in the past. Jesus understands the difficulty of such forgiveness. To keep on forgiving is a God-like characteristic. It is contrary to human nature. And yet, in today's verse, we find out that a God-like characteristic is 7 times 70. Oh, and by the way, if you need another reason for being willing to forgive on that path to peace, because this is proof positive that as God has forgiven us, that means that God has never walked away from us. It would be good if we didn't walk away from God's children either. God bless you.